There should be a short summary of this. Thank you. Can I just check while that's going around? Ms. Allison did submit some supplementary evidence online.
Thank you.
So my name is Courtney Allison. I'm currently employed by the Southland District Council as a senior policy planner in the resource management team. Council recognises that there is a need to maintain and improve overall water quality, and that this will require some improvements in the way council delivers its infrastructure. However, there remain some concerns with how the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan proposes to achieve this. My evidence outlines concerns with the policy and regulatory framework in the proposed plan, and in particular, there's four key areas that, of concern that I wanted to highlight just in the summary today.
Yep.
First is that the proposed plan does not provide an appropriate balance in the policy framework and considered against the higher order policy documents. The second is that the proposed plan does not provide adequate recognition of the critical nature of SDC's infrastructure. Third, that the plan doesn't provide an appropriate level of regulation for infrastructure. And finally, that the Section 32 analysis does not adequately consider the costs of proposed rules. Looking first at the balance within the policy framework, our submission and my evidence highlights concerns in how the proposed plan gives effect to both the MPS for freshwater management and the proposed regional policy statement. It's worth noting that there have been some recent changes to the MPS, which Councillor McCullum's already referred to today, for the MPS for freshwater management, which came into effect on the 6th of September. As outlined in my evidence, the MPS provides for the overall water quality to be maintained or improved. Whilst there has been some uncertainty around what overall means, greater clarity has been provided through the recent changes to the MPS. The preamble to the MPS states that this MPS allows some variability in terms of freshwater quality as long as the overall freshwater quality is maintained within a freshwater management unit. And this has also been reflected within Objective A2 of the MPS. Changes to Policy CA2 of the MPS also provide some clarity around the context for maintenance or improvement in water quality by stating in relation to the maintenance of water quality, where an attribute is listed in Appendix 2, that freshwater objectives are set at least within the same attribute state as existing freshwater quality. This suggests some movement within the attribute band is acceptable, but should not shift into a different attribute band or state if water quality is to be considered as maintained. These provisions all provide some guidance and flexibility in how maintenance or improvement of water quality is to be achieved. However, the proposed plan requires the absolute maintenance or improvement of water quality. Similarly, the proposed RPS provides some context to how the maintenance and improvement of water quality is to be achieved, referring back to the freshwater objectives to be formulated under the MPS. The management of water quality is also placed in the context of meeting social, economic and cultural needs of future generations. Council accepts that there is a need to manage water quality and that Council's activities will need to contribute to any improvements, but the absolute wording in the proposed plan provides no flexibility to enable these outcomes to be achieved in a way that is practical and affordable for the Southland communities. This brings me to the second key concern, which is the lack of recognition of critical nature of Council's infrastructure. The proposed plan is required to give effect to the regional policy statement. The proposed RPS contains a number of provisions which recognise the critical nature and importance of providing the infrastructure, which have been highlighted in my evidence. This recognition has not followed through into the objectives, policies or rules of the proposed plan. The third area of concern is with the non-complying activity status that would apply to many of Council's activities. A non-complying activity status is typically applied to activities that are not anticipated. When applying for a consent for a non-compliant activity, the case has to be made that the particular activity can pass one of the gateway tests to even be considered on its merits. This is not consistent with the essential and ongoing nature of wastewater and stormwater infrastructure. A discretionary activity status is considered more appropriate for council infrastructure activities and still provides the regional council with sufficient discretion to consider all effects and impose any necessary conditions. Fourth area of concern is with the Section 32 report and the lack of consideration of the costs, in particular to territorial authorities providing essential infrastructure and therefore the costs that puts on our communities who fund these essential services. argument in the Section 32 report appears to be that the management of freshwater quality, the management of water quality, will remain largely unchanged until the completion of the freshwater management unit processes. However, this does not match up with the reality of the policies and rules, which suggest improvements will be required immediately. Therefore, it is considered the policies and rules are not the most efficient way of achieving the objectives. In summary, Council appreciates the importance of managing water quality and understands the central government direction the Regional Council is having to implement. However, changes are required to the policy and rule framework to ensure the investment and improvements to the provision of council infrastructure can be prioritised around those areas where the best gains in water quality can be achieved and improvements can be implemented over practical and affordable timeframes. The key changes that councils are requesting that would satisfy these concerns outlined today and in my more detailed evidence are outlined in the appendix to Mr. Duncan's evidence.
Thank you very much for that. Morris.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you referred to the suite overall, and that's another submission as well, and it's been quite a lot of talk about it as you referred to. But I note in the regional policy statement, which now is beyond here, that the word overall doesn't occur there. So if we were to use the word overall in this plan, wouldn't that be a conflict with the regional policy statement?
I think the point I've tried to make in my evidence is that at the NPS level there's the terminology of overall, which provides some flexibility or some context as to how maintenance or improvements to be implemented. Whilst the RPS might not make the specific term overall, it also has some other provisions or other wording that provides similar context or so it's context to how that maintenance or improvement is to be achieved. And so the wording that we've suggested in our appendix to Mr. Dunning's evidence that outlines the changes that we've sought has provided some of that flexibility, whether it's through the term overall or
some other way. All right, thank you,
Chair. And I think that answered.
Nothing here.
My question.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I was going to talk to Mr. Dunning later, but I'll highlight it now. Mr. Dunning may actually get a heads up on it. You mentioned in your evidence of the infrastructure and the recognition of the infrastructure, and it was suggested to me that the definition of infrastructure would be appropriate. You've outlined in the evidence at the back under Mr. Dunning a change. Others have actually suggested that this plan needs a bit more infrastructure recognition. And I'm just wondering, because there is national and regional and critical infrastructure against infrastructure in general, that I'm not sure whether the emphasis in your definition of that with Mr. Dunning has actually come through well enough. And you made mention of community critical infrastructure, because I could actually say that infrastructure on a farm or a industrial site could be critical to that business, but I think the intent here is that you're looking for community assets or critical infrastructure from a community point of view was very important. And you may even consider in the definition a little bit more fabric in there and capture either water takes or sewerage systems or roading or paralyte or some other wording that may actually give a little more sense of what you're actually trying to achieve. So you can leave that as a comment as you like, but I think if you could give that some consideration, I think that is would run along the same lines as you indicated in your verbal evidence and in your Mr. Dunning's evidence at the end of the day.
So Lord, could you just clarify what the actual question is?
Well, the question is that...
What are you wanting Mr. Dunning to do?
Mr. Dunning, it's in your page 12 of 12 at the back, you've got a definition of critical infrastructure. I'm not sure whether that definition that you have outlined there captures the intent of the discussion that has had during the day and the other evidence that is there. Now, I'm asking whether you would consider changes to that to actually capture the arguments that you put before us today.
All right, so that's something to mull over lunch. Now, Ms. Allison, thanks for your evidence. I don't have any questions for you, but just makes the point that
the issues you've brought to our attention regarding infrastructure and the provisions in the plan. I mean, I discussed it at the opening of the hearing. Other submitters, TransPower and others, have made, NZTA have made similar points, so we're well aware of that issue, and also the need to make sure that this plan gives proper effect to the ESFM in its modified form, and also that it does cater for the council's intended future FMU process without shutting down avenues in the future that might want to be taken under that process. We're aware of the need to look at that as well. And we're also well aware, and in fact we raised this issue ourselves with questions to the officers at the commencement of the hearing, of the need to be very careful about provisions that are worded absolutely, particularly in terms of avoiding effects in line with King Salmon case law and other case law that's flown out of that. So these are all issues that just want to assure you that we're well aware of and are giving some good consideration to. And finally, in terms of your supplementary evidence, thanks very much for that. That issue has also been brought to our attention by other submitters, and you probably won't be aware that we had a good discussion with the submitter called the Roading Company Limited about how to make practical provision for water takes required for roading maintenance and construction activities. So again, we're aware of the need to be sensible about these matters, and that's what we'll be doing. So thank you very much for that, and we'll now adjourn for lunch. It's reasonable time, and then we'll come back at 1:10 if that suits.
Thank you.